Dr. Michael Hutchings has 35 years of pastoral church planning and pastoring, pastor's experience in a variety of church cultures, including Baptist, Vineyard, Willow Creek, and Mennonite. In Peoria, Illinois, he is a leadership mentor, a pastor's coach, and is an advisor to a number of leadership teams and ministries and churches. His ministry, God Heals PTSD Foundation, creates curriculum and conducts healing, trauma, and PTSD training seminars throughout the world in churches, ministry centers, and military bases. He trains prayer ministers, clergy, chaplains, and counselors to utilize a healing prayer model to bring restoration to those suffering with PTSD. He's trained over 20,000 in his seminars on bringing healing prayer to trauma. His book, Supernatural Freedom from the Captivity of Trauma, is available through Destiny Image. He has traveled to Ukraine, Rwanda, South Africa, Armenia, Brazil, and New Zealand to train the church to bring healing to those with unresolved trauma. His television show, Living Unbroken, can be viewed on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural Network on Thursdays. He has a Doctor of Theology and a Doctor of Ministry degree and has worked as a licensed behavioral therapist in private practice counseling and was a clinical coordinator for a counseling program serving homeless, runaway youth, and their families. He is currently the Director of Education for Global Awakening, an evangelistic ministry in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. He directs Dr. Randy Clark's Global School of Supernatural Ministry and the Global Certification Programs. He is passionate about connecting pastors and leaders throughout the body of Christ to come together for transformation in their cities, and he strives to equip others to minister healing and wholeness to the world. He's been married to his wife, Roxanne, for 43 years and has 3 children and 5 grandchildren. And I have got the pleasure to hear him speak, and what I appreciate more than anything, it's a very personal ministry that you have. And I appreciate that about you. So, church, let's give a warm welcome to Dr. Michael Hutchings.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you. Wow. Wow, good morning, church.
Good morning.
What a beautiful morning it's been. I mean, seriously, I'm going to have to get myself together here because I just really got touched by what the Holy Spirit did in this room this morning. Anybody else in the room? I mean, seriously, I was telling your pastor that one of the things I love to do is to come into churches about this size, because I believe churches of this size are really the perfect expression of what it means to be a kingdom family. And oh my gosh, did you guys express that in such beautiful ways. I mean, seriously, to see the body of Christ not only open the altars and allow people who are broken and hurting to come forward, but then to see all of you come and support these folks. I mean, give yourselves a big high five. Go around and give yourselves a big high five. I mean, that's just incredible. It really is. It's really amazing. So, let me open this first. As Pastor Aaron said, I for those of you who don't know, I'm just a boy from Illinois. Don't hold it against me, Iowans. I mean, seriously. From around the Peoria, Illinois area, born and raised there. My dad was a machinist at Caterpillar for 40 years. My mom was a bank teller. And I was an only child, which all of my friends will tell you that explains everything. But it's been a privilege and an honor not only serve Jesus as a pastor, but then in May of 2012, as I was, and by the way, people ask, he served a Mennonite church? Well, yeah, I served actually a charismatic Mennonite church in Morton, Illinois. And there are such things as charismatic Mennonites, believe it or not. They love Jesus, and they're just as passionate about Jesus as you all are. But when Randy Clark asked me to come and direct his education programs at Global Awakening, I stepped into an adventure that is still continuing to be ongoing. I've been serving Global Awakening for the past 12 years, and for the past 8 years have been leading as well this God Heals PTSD Foundation. And I'll talk a little bit about that as I get going here. First of all, real quick, just to let you know, back on the resource table, I have, this is my book, Supernatural Freedom from the Captivity of Trauma, that it actually has my healing trauma seminar that I go throughout the world and train to church how to bring healing to people who are not just diagnosed with PTSD, but how many of you know everybody has trauma? Okay, I'm going to say it again. How many of you know everybody has trauma? Turn to somebody and say, everybody has trauma. So I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is the only organization on the planet Earth that has the goods, which is called the blood of Jesus Christ, that can bring healing and restoration and freedom to anybody who carries trauma. Doesn't make any difference what your trauma has been. Doesn't make a difference how far back your trauma is. I'm saying to you that, church, we need to take up the reins of bringing healing trauma to people, that it will not take years and years of counseling and therapy to get healed of trauma, that indeed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, you can be healed and restored in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Where's the gentleman who has the Sober Soldier hoodie on today? Where are you, brother? Where are you? Come here. There it is. Come here. I want to give this to you. Bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, my friend. Thank you for ministry and recovery in Jesus' name. So, and by the way, there's the other things that are all back on the table are prayer cards. Randy Clark is the king of laminated prayer cards. And we have laminated prayer cards. Why? Because sometimes you need to know how to pray for people in different situations. So they're kind of like what I call cheat sheets. You know, you every time you pray for somebody, you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you, but they're helpful. And I also have a USB drive back there that actually has the entire seminar. I gave one to your pastor today. But it is a seminar that helps set up people to bring healing prayer to trauma. And our mandate as a foundation is to set up trauma healing prayer centers throughout the world where people can come to the church and actually not only receive, you know, prayer for salvation, prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but prayer for physical healing and prayer to be released from trauma in Jesus' name. I just spent 21 days in Australia ministering to the church there and setting up prayer rooms on the Gold Coast of Australia. In a few weeks, I'll be going to UK, to the United Kingdom, and doing the same thing. And then now that there's a ceasefire in Ukraine, I get to go back to Ukraine in June. I've been to Ukraine twice in the past 5 years in the midst of a war. And we're working with the church to bring healing to the... How many of you know all of Ukraine is traumatized? Anybody? So we're going to go back there and bring healing to that. I'm also going back to Rwanda. Many of you know that Rwanda just had their 30th commemoration of the genocide, and we're working both with the Catholic Church as well as with the Pentecostal Church in Rwanda to help bring healing to the trauma of the genocide that they've been through. So anyway, if you think about me, pray for me, because God is opening up amazing doors. Just got a door open just this weekend while we were doing the Empowered Conference here at Heartland Church. A team from Northern Ireland came to this conference, and they've been through so much trauma there, and they opened a door for me to come and establish a trauma healing prayer center there as well. So somebody praise God for divine appointments, will you? Amen. So before I talk anymore, I want to pray. And guys, when I pray, I like to pray with my eyes open. As a matter of fact, guys, I've read the entire Bible, and I've researched and I found out that you don't have to bow your head and close your eyes to pray. Then indeed, the word says, I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes from. So I want you to keep your eyes open while I pray as well. So Father, I just thank you for this amazing kingdom family. God, thank you for Sunshine Church. God, thank you for the not only sunshine that's coming through the windows today, but the shining of your glory, the power of your love, the power of your healing that I feel so strongly in this place right now, and it's among this people. Under the authority of Pastor Aaron, in the name of Jesus, I cancel and I sever every single assignment of the powers of darkness that would seek to keep anyone in this room captive, that would seek to distract, disrupt or in any way, shape, or form confuse the message that you want to bring here today. Father, I thank you that every shattered soul and every broken heart that is in this room or watching on live by YouTube or later on, I thank you that is your word that brings healing and restoration. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So how many of you know we live in a pretty traumatic world? How many of you feel like, those of us that are older, feel like the trauma continues to rise up? I mean, you know, we just, you know, we've been through the, which is, for me, a once-in-a-generation traumatic event called the COVID pandemic that caused a lot of trauma. And as many of you know, with our young people and children, they're still dealing with some of the trauma of that. We live in a world where trauma can be an everyday event for anybody. There's the small T traumas and there's the big T traumas that many of us are very familiar with. And then how many of you know the Bible's a pretty traumatic book? Have you read it lately? How many of you know you read, you beginning the book of Genesis, and God makes a perfect world and he puts his favorites, Adam and Eve, in a garden, and they're in relationship with God. And then they listen to the voice of the enemy, and the enemy comes and deceives them, and they disconnect themselves from God. And then all of a sudden, everything that makes life miserable starts coming into the world. Pretty soon they have two kids. One kid kills the other kid. And by the time you get to Genesis 6, things have gone so bad for the human race that God has to send a flood and wipe it clean and start all over again. And then you keep going, and you know he plants Israel in the promised land, and you know he's taking them out of slavery, and that's a pretty traumatic event, but they make it through the wilderness, and it takes them a lot longer than God planned, but they finally get there, and they're in the promised land, and God gives them instructions, and they follow those instructions for a while, but just like all human beings, they start to slip and start to serve other gods. And so how many of you know that most of the Old Testament is not really good news? It's mostly bad news. It's a lot of trauma, a lot of wars, a lot of slavery going on, you know. And finally you get to the New Testament and kind of calms down. You have Jesus and everything is wonderful. You get the Gospels and yes, he dies on the cross, but then he rises from the grave. And then the disciples go out and start spreading the gospel. And then you get to the book of Revelation. And you need a Xanax just to get through the book of Revelation. So the Bible can be a pretty traumatic book, but the reason why it's a traumatic book is because not only is it the revelation of God's heart and plan for humanity, his dream for bringing his glory into the earth, it's also the revelation of who Jesus is and the glory of all that he is to us, but it is also a record of what human beings look like apart from God, that when we separate from our Creator, everything that makes life miserable, everything that traumatizes life, everything that makes life horrible to live with comes into our lives because we disconnect ourselves from the Creator that has always had a dream of God for us. How many of you know that the Word of God says that in Jeremiah chapter 1, that before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, your father knew you? He says that. He says, even before you began to be knit together in your mother's womb, I knew you. What that means is that God has always had a dream for your life. He always has had a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, I get the opportunity to minister to a lot of people who's their conception, the fact that they came into being, always has a question mark around it. Either they were conceived through a sexual assault or something bad, or maybe their parents said to them, hey, you were a surprise to us. You were kind of like an accident, you know, and it makes people feel really strange about themselves and makes them wonder, am I even supposed to be here? And of course, the good news is you may have been a surprise to your mommy and daddy, but you're no surprise to God. Amen? Amen. I mean, if you're still here on this side of the soil, you're still sucking oxygen, you still have a purpose in life. And the reality is that no matter how old you are, that when you allow Jesus Christ to come and bring everything he bought and paid for on the cross for your sin, iniquity, and transgression, he just didn't die so that you could go to heaven, but he literally died so that you could have an abundant life here on this earth. That the gospel of the kingdom is not just about getting to heaven, but literally about bringing heaven to earth in every one of our lives so that our lives can be a glory, our lives can be an expression, our lives can be an expression and a reflection of the divine purpose of God that he created us for in the first place, in Jesus' name. Amen? But today we get to talk about trauma. Everybody smile. Because the reality is everybody has trauma. Everybody's known what it's like to have things in your life that have shattered your heart, broken your heart. And today we're going to have a conversation about that a little bit. If I could have my PowerPoint up, please. By the way, this is how to get in touch with me. I have a Facebook page as well as a web page called GodHealsPTSD.com. And I also have 28 episodes on Sid Ross, It's Supernatural Network, that if you download the ISN app, you can watch them. How many of you know Rumble, the social app? There's a channel on there called Living Unbroken. And Living Unbroken is the name of the show that you can watch everything to do with salvation, healing, deliverance, and trauma. And it's available for you as well. Next slide, please. In Psalm 23, the psalmist David is likening his relationship. He's a shepherd boy. He's out taking care of the sheep, his family's sheep, out on the hills outside of Jerusalem. And as he's expressing his relationship with God, he likens his relationship as a shepherd to sheep. Now, guys, I don't know if you all know, have sheep. I assume here in Iowa somebody is taking care of sheep. But how many of you know being called a sheep is not exactly the greatest compliment that God could give us? How many of you know there are no sheep acts in the circus? That sheep are notoriously difficult to take care of. They're notoriously difficult to train. Sheep have a tendency to wander off. You have to watch after them all the time. I had one shepherd tell me that if you put sheep on a pasture that it overlooks a cliff, sheep will literally eat themselves off the cliff. So to be called a sheep, we can either take it as an insult, or we can see that in the Psalm 23 that God is showing to us that his care for us is as a loving shepherd who takes care of the sheep who need a lot of care. Let me ask you a question. Do you need a lot of care and somebody to watch out for you? I do. No, come on, guys. I mean, seriously. I see some guys out there saying, no, I could take care of myself. Yeah, you need somebody, trust me. And David, who went from being a psalmist to being somebody who was anointed king of Israel, who then became a mighty warrior for Israel, who served the king of Israel, and then because the king became demonized and jealous of who he was, began to persecute him for 13 years. David likens his relationship with God as a shepherd to a sheep. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, I could quote the rest of that scripture to you. It's a powerful scripture. As a matter of fact, so many of us have learned it and memorized it that we kind of forget just how deep, how very deep the care of the Father is. You know, it says at one point that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. There's somebody in the room today that you've just walked through a valley of the shadow of death. I don't know whether it was you or whether it was walking with somebody who passed away, or maybe you've been through a time where you almost died. But I want to tell you, Jesus was there with you. He is there with you. He's there with you now. And even as you go through grieving, as you go through a time of loss, that he comes to bring comfort and help to you, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes as a comforter to you. But I want to focus on verse 3 of Psalm 23 as I begin. where it says, He restores my soul. Say that with me. He restores my soul. Now, I've read a lot of different paraphrases and translations of the Bible, and some of the paraphrases get a little loose with some of their phrasing of the words, and in some paraphrases, they use words like, He refreshes my soul, like, I'm going to a day at the spa where I'm going to go get a mani and a pedi, I'm going to get a facial and sit in the sauna and have a day of refreshing. But folks, that's not what the word here, restore, means. The word restore here in the Hebrew literally comes from the root word aruka, which means to be restored from devastation. To be restored from devastation. You say, well, why would David say that? Because if you read the story of David, his history, you pair it up with the Psalms of David that he wrote, you begin to see a picture of David, of somebody, although that he was anointed king of Israel, that even though he was considered to be one of the favored sons of God, the reality is that David went through so much trauma in his life. As a matter of fact, I consider David to be one of the most traumatized men in the whole Bible, next to Jesus Christ, because of all the trauma that he went through. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about David's life, and get an understanding about the things that happen to you and I in life that cause wounding and trauma to our soul. So the first time we see David is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And if you'll remember, Saul has had the kingship ripped away from him, and the national prophet Samuel goes to the house of Jesse on assignment from God to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as the new king of Israel. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on an assignment with God, but many times God sends you on an assignment, but he doesn't always give you all the details, right? And the reason why he doesn't give you all the details is because he wants you to listen to him and to kind of depend upon him and not just go out there on your own. So he goes to the house of Jesse. He tells Jesse to bring out, quote unquote, all of his sons. And Jesse brings out his sons. Samuel goes down the line. And finally, God says no to every one of these sons about being the new king of Israel. So then Samuel turns to Jesse. In today's language, he'd say, dude, what's up? Somebody's missing. So Jesse says, well, there's David. Well, many biblical scholars believe that the reason why David was not included in that lineup of sons was because David was the product of another relationship between Jesse and a woman who was not the mother of all the sons. That he was considered an illegitimate child, and he was kind of treated like a second-class citizen of his house. You know, my folk, all of my people come from Kentucky. I was on the only Yankee born north of Kentucky, so you can imagine what my life was like with all of my family at the family reunions. But all my folk come from Kentucky, and my mom and dad would always have a saying that when your family didn't treat you right, you were being treated like a redheaded stepchild. That the reality is that many of us have known what it's like to actually be rejected by your families, to not be accepted and loved and cared for. You know, when you have kids, when God grants you the blessing of having children, I believe parents are supposed to give their children certain soul nutrients that help them develop strong souls. Like, for instance, to be loved for who you are and not for what you do. How many of you know that to love a child in the right way, that the love that we have as a parent shouldn't be based upon their behavior, but based upon their identity? How many of you know that's how God loves us? How many of you know, would you raise a hand? How many of you know that's how God loves us? He doesn't love us based upon our behavior. He doesn't pull his love away from us when we mess up. He loves us because we're his sons and daughters. Secondly, you know, parents should give their children the sense that they really do belong to the family. You know, I've got four children. One is in heaven. Three are here on the earth. I had two kids right close to each other, about 2 years apart, and then we had an 8-year span before we had our last one. And my older kids would always tell my youngest, well, mom and dad found you under a rock. You're the adopted one. And then she'd come and say, that's about me. They say I'm adopted. And I say, look at us. Do you see how you look exactly like us? Come on. You belong to this family, you know. Get over that, you know. So it's important, though, to know that you belong. Do you understand that right now, in the generations that are raising up, Generation Z, Generation Alpha, their sense of belonging to family is so shattered, so broken, that they're desperately looking for people and places to belong to. That's why a church like this, Pastor Aaron, is so critical for the raising up of young sons and daughters, so that they know that they're actually going to be loved here, that this is a place that people can belong. How many of you feel like you belong here? Raise your hand. See, that's kingdom family. That's so beautiful. The other thing that parents need to give their children is a sense that their lives have value. Their lives are significant, that they really are going to have an impact. So many of us have been brought up by parents who were angry. They had their own pain. And many times when we didn't measure up to their standards or we didn't behave the way they wanted to, they would speak these kind of things over us like, you're worthless, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. And guys, how many of you know that those are wounds directly to your soul? They make you feel like you can never measure up to the standards that you were raised with. I don't know if there's anybody like this in this room, but although I knew my parents loved me, I felt that my dad in particular had standards for me that I could never measure up to. I always felt like that I was a disappointment. I always felt like that I could never fully measure up to what he wanted for me. I couldn't do the things that he loved to do. He tried to sometimes live out his dreams through me, and I just couldn't do it. And when you feel like you're always disappointing your parents, it not only affects your relationship with them, but it affects your identity as a person. And guess what? It also affects your identity with Heavenly Father. Because however you were treated by your own father is many times the way that you feel like the Heavenly Father treats you. So many times, even though I was a believer in Jesus Christ, I always felt like I was a disappointment to my dad. So that when I'd go and try to talk to God, I wasn't sure if I was going to encounter a mad God, a sad God, or a disappointed God. And so when you have that kind of attitude, it begins to kind of affect your prayer life that you really don't want to pray much. But when you begin to get the revelation of the love of the Father through Jesus Christ, then you realize that every time I go to Father God, he is always excited to talk to me. He loves me with an everlasting love. That I have no shame, that I have no guilt, that I have no condemnation, that I'm one of his, by the way, I'm one of God's favorites. Turn to somebody and say, I'm one of God's favorites too. Would you do that right now? Come on, I'm one of God's favorites too. And so when I go to him, I feel like I'm one of his favorites, that he loves me with an everlasting love, and I never, ever have to worry, no matter how bad I've messed up, whether or not the door to the throne room is open to me. The Word of God declares in Hebrews 4 that even when I'm in the biggest mess of my life, I can always go before the throne of God, and his throne of grace is always there for me to give me help in time of need. That's the kind of love that we have from our Father. Could you give a thanks to God for that, would you? So you see, when you don't feel loved for who you are, when you don't feel like when you belong, when you feel like you're a disappointment to your family, you don't get the things that you need to develop a healthy soul, and that's trauma A. And David knew what it was to be rejected by his family. He knew what it was to feel like he never fully belonged. He knew what it was to kind of be treated like a second-class citizen. And it does something to you that makes you feel less than all the time. You get in a group of people and you feel like that you're the one that's the weakest. You're the one that nobody pays attention to. And part of the issue with that is that you begin to develop a victim mindset. You begin to think everything the bad that happens in life happens to you. And you don't have high expectations for your life. You kind of begin to think, well, you know, my life is just a trauma magnet. Bad things are going to continue to happen to me. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever met somebody like this, but when you get to know them, the first thing that they tell you about their lives are all the bad things that have happened to them. Guys, how many of you know as believers in Jesus that our testimony is to be about the blessings of God, about what God has done for us, that although we've been through difficult times and difficult seasons, and sometimes we've known brokenness and we've known failure, the reality is that our God is faithful, that he's faithful to us, and that becomes our testimony. So David knew what it was like to kind of feel what I call trauma A, or the absence of good things in his life. He never felt that he was truly loved for who he was. Later on, we see David, and he goes up against a mighty giant Goliath. And I mean, guys, he's a 15, 16-year-old kid. And yet, because the army of Israel refuses to take on Goliath, he steps in because of his relationship with God, and he hears this uncircumcised Philistine cursing God and cursing the armies of Israel. So he goes up against Goliath, and he takes what he knows works, which is a slingshot and a staff. And with one shot, he hits the giant in the forehead, and he falls down on the ground, and the giant is dead. And for those of us that grew up hearing this story, that was the end of the story. But how many of you know it wasn't the end of the story? That David takes Goliath's sword and chops off his head, and the army of Israel carries around that head as a trophy to remind the Philistines who got the victory that day. But there's only one problem about that entire story. It's a great message, Pastor Aaron, to preach on being giant slayers and giant killers, but how many of you know 15-year-old boys are not supposed to be going around chopping people's heads off? That the message about David becomes that he's a mighty warrior, that the song that is sung about David is that Saul has slain his thousands, but David is tens of thousands. And David knows what it's like to become a bloody man of war. Now, I look at the men around this room, and you're probably like me. I like to watch shoot 'em up movies. I like the action movies. I like all the Fast and Furious. I like, you know, I like the spy movies. And I mean, I grew up watching James Bond, you know, so that was all part of. So I like watching that. There's only one problem about violence and war, is that it does something to the human soul. And it shatters the human soul in ways that most of us just fully don't understand. You know, I know you here in your congregation, you have first responders. And I get how many of you give thanks to God for the police officers, firefighters, emergency medical technicians in our community? Would you give thanks to God? But you know, they many times see humanity at the very worst. They see situations and horrible traumatic situations where they see human lives in terrible shape. I think of the firefighters that I work with in particular, who firefighters are some of the most traumatized first responders because they see horrible things when they go into burning buildings. And, you know, a lot of that sticks with you. A lot of that violence, a lot of those memories, a lot of those images stick with you in a way that you can, what we call, you can get triggered. You can actually have a flashback and go back to a moment where you saw something bad happen, or you saw somebody in a really bad situation, or even as a police officer, you had to deal with somebody in a violent way where they were seeking to attack you or others. And my friends, that's when you've had bad things happen to you, or where you've experienced bad things, that's called trauma B, or the presence of bad things. That you've had things that have either violently happened to you, or you've witnessed them. For instance, in a crowd of this size, I could tell you that after 10 years of teaching on this subject, that literally half of you in this room, and maybe more, have known what it is to go through some kind of childhood trauma. Childhood trauma means that you were either physically, emotionally, or sexually abused as a child. that the very people that were supposed to give you trust and help you learn how to love and develop a trust relationship many times became the one that gave you the most pain. So you know what it is to live in a family or a household that maybe had their own pain before you even came into this world, and yet they passed on their pain to you. And because childhood trauma is so prevalent in our society, many of us don't talk about it. We try to just shove it down, but like all trauma, eventually it leaks out. Many times it comes, and it comes in the form of anxiety, depression. It comes in the form of feeling suicidal sometimes. It comes in the form of anger or rage. And here's a big one. It was actually a study done by the Journal of the American Medical Association that provided a definitive medical link between the presence of early childhood trauma and the onset of addictions. That the reality is that many of the people that carry addictions in our lives have addictions not because they like to party, but because they were running away from their pain. That indeed, that for many people, addictions, whether it's addictions to drugs, addictions to alcohol, addictions to pornography, addictions to sex, addictions to food, those addictions come because you've been trying to treat the soul pain of the trauma that you've carried, all the pain you've carried in your whole life. And it's real. It's real. And the thing is that you and I live in a Western society. And quite frankly, unfortunately, even in some churches where we're said, well, you know what? Bad things happen to everybody. Just get over it. Just suck it up, stiff upper lip, and move on. And even in the church many times, and I'm not saying this happens here with Pastor Aaron, but many churches have what I call spiritual band-aids. And they say, you know what? If you've got trauma, if you've got issues, just pray more. Read your Bible more. Come to church more. And it'll be okay. And the reality is that many of those kind of band-aids are like putting a small band-aid over a gaping open wound that's oozing pus and blood. And I want to have, I know I've been talking about a lot of bad things, but I have good news for you today. There is healing, there is freedom, and there is restoration from the power of trauma in Jesus' name. David writes in Psalm 34, verse 17 through 19, he says this: the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their trouble. God is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You see, where it says the word, God is near to the brokenhearted, the word brokenhearted means to have a shattered soul. You'll see up here the components of the soul. Your soul is first of all made up of your mind, what and how you think. It's made up of your will, what and how you make choices. It's made up of your emotions, how you feel. And finally, it's made up of your identity, who you really are. I like to think of your soul like a mirror. And I guarantee every one of you in this room today, before you came to church, you looked in the mirror to make sure that your hair looked right, there was nothing hanging out of your nose from sleeping, so you looked decent. And you looked in the mirror so that you saw a pretty good picture of yourself. What trauma does is it comes and it shatters that image in the mirror. And so that when you look in the mirror, when you try to find your identity, you don't see the dream of God that he's made for you, but instead you see yourself through the shattered picture of the trauma that has taken place in your life. And one of the worst things that the enemy can do for people who've known what it is to be shattered by trauma is to begin to lie to them and say, you are more defined by the way people have treated you. You are more defined by what has happened to you than by who your father calls you. But here's the good news. There is healing and there is freedom in Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 61, which is the prophecy about the coming Messiah, It says of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to the afflicted, to the traumatized, and to the victimized. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to declare liberty to captives and freedom to the prisoners, to declare the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, and to declare the vengeance of our God, to say to those who are mourning in Zion, giving to them a garland or a crown of beauty for a head full of ashes, the oil of joy and gladness for sorrow and mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, fainting, and despair, that you will no longer be called the poor, the afflicted, the traumatized. You'll no longer be called the brokenhearted, but now you will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified in our lives. Come on, give thanks to God for that, will you? That's the ministry of Jesus. And the most amazing thing about that prophecy is that when Jesus started his ministry, he started it in his home church. And when he went into his home church, they gave him the book of scroll to read. And as he read the scripture, it was Isaiah 61. And when he sat down to give his comments, he said, "Today, that scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The ministry of healing broken hearts, the ministry of healing the shattered soul, is as much the ministry of Jesus as healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, or getting people saved to go to heaven. That the reality is that most of us have lived with the pain of the wounding of life, and we have said to ourselves, "Well, this is just what life is. I just have to live with it." So many of us know what it is to have panic, anxiety, depression. We know what it is to have suicidal thoughts that come from a suicidal demon. We know what it is to not sleep much at night because we're constantly reminded of all the trauma that we've been through. We know what it is, many of us, to rage and have anger because of the woundedness of our hearts. And I want to say to everybody in this room that if you have the very Savior that died on the cross and rose from the grave, if you have him living in your life, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus' dead body from the grave lives in you, and he's after every shattered piece of your heart to bring you healing, to bring you freedom, and bring you to a sense of walking in the wholeness that God promised us in Jesus' name. You know how I know that? Because in Psalm 147:3, David says, "God heals all shattered hearts and binds up their wounds." No matter how wounded you are today, no matter how much hell you've known in your life, no matter how much you've hidden all the pain, he knows, he cares, and he's here today to bring healing. I want to show to you a video of a man. This is the second man that I ever prayed for with trauma. People ask me all the time, "How is it that you learned how to pray for people with trauma and PTSD?" And I say, "Well, actually, it wasn't even on my radar at the time. I was with Randy Clark at a healing meeting in Illinois, and a military veteran came up to me and asked me if Randy would pray for him because he had suffered from all the horrible symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, which included chronic nerve pain. He had chronic anxiety, depression. He had suicidal thoughts. He could only sleep a couple hours a night. And when he woke up every morning, he woke up in a puddle of his own sweat because he had night sweats and restless leg syndrome. He couldn't sleep with his wife anymore because he would have nightmares and night terrors about being in battle, and he would literally attack her. And she had been wounded literally by being attacked in her sleep. So he knew what it was to carry all of the horror and the wounds of war. And so I went to Randy and I said, "Hey, Randy, this guy wants you to pray for him." And Randy stuck his finger in my face because we're friends. And he says, "Mike, I'll stand with you, but I want you to pray for him." I was like, "Really? I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray for this guy." And he said, "Well, ask the Holy Spirit So I asked the Holy Spirit what to pray, and he gave me steps how to pray for this man. This man, Ron, as we prayed for him, the Spirit of God came on him. And in this video, Randy's going to talk about that experience. But this is a pretty long testimony video. It's about 10 minutes. But it's first telling the story of the very first man I prayed for. And then you'll hear the story of Adrian, who knew what it was to be so tortured and tormented by the wounds of war that he was ready to commit suicide. So, guys, could you show that video right now for me, please?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
Let me tell you first about what happened a few weeks ago, and then what happened, and I'll let Adrian tell about last night. How many veterans of the wars in the Middle East do we have in our presence tonight? If you've served in Iraq or Afghanistan, somewhere in the Middle East, would you just lift your hand? We have any? You know, this war, like all wars, has casualties. Sometimes it's more than shrapnel. And one of the huge things that we're facing as a country is so many veterans coming back with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And several weeks ago, a young man came up to us in Illinois at a large vineyard, and He told me, you got to pray for me. Ever since I came back from Iraq, I've had night sweats, and I've had terrible dreams, and I've been tormented every night, and my life has been miserable. And it's so bad, his wife is going to have surgery as well. And so Mike, our director of our school, he was with me. I said, Mike, pray. And as he began to pray, something happened to this man named Ron, who was a veteran. And the next day, he met us and said, I had no night terrors, no night sweats. I have been at peace. And my wife was healed when she was facing back surgery in her lumbar area. She got healed at the same time. This is now weeks later, we're still getting emails from him. And not only that, but he has had such a healing, not one problem since then, that he is praying for all the veterans in the church that they too would be healed of the PTSD. So was it last night you came up?
Monday
night, Adrian here came up, I believe it was right there, or somewhere right in there. And I knelt down and I asked, what do you need? And he told me. So you take it from there and tell us what's happened.
Well, Monday night when Mr. Clark was handing out the books, he had handed out a book on identity. And that's why I had to get to him. And I knew I could went to the bookstore and get it, but something kept telling me, no, you need to go ask Randy Clark what the title of that book was. And you need to ask him specifically. And I was like, no, I'm just going to go to the bookstore. But anyway, I made my way up here. The crowds parted like the Red Sea, because I didn't know how I was getting here. And I asked him the title of the book, and he told me, and he said, well, why do you need it? I said, I lost my identity quite a few wars ago, and I was trying to find myself. And he said, you don't need that book. Let me call up a team member to pray for you. But what was even better was that I'm speaking on your behalf, but I feel that he sensed that if he left me to wait for the team member, I was bolting for the door. Because I was scared, I was terrified, I was getting surrounded by the crowds, I was nervous, I wanted to get out of here, I was looking for a threat. But he didn't let me go, he took his mic off and he sat with me. Can't thank you enough for doing that for me. Before I go on, there is freedom in Jesus. I didn't come here to get prayer for PTSD. I've come here because I've been living with chronic nerve pain in my arms and legs for the last five plus years now, until tonight. And I met a couple in Lubbock, Texas, not where I'm from, but where I retired to, that was from associated with Bethel, and they prayed for me, and that was the first time I ever experienced real prayer. That's when my breakthrough started, was April of 2011. By September of 2011, I came to visit the healing rooms. I was in a lot of pain. I just looked at my medicine records a few days ago, I had 6 or 7 sheets of medicine with about 15 to 20 meds per sheet that I've been on in the last 5-plus years. Long story short, I was seeing breakthrough, and it was coming, but it was slow. Didn't happen overnight. Sometimes it would go away, and it would come back. So I'm thinking, why do I have to deal with this PTSD? I came here for my nerve pain. God, what is going on? I want this pain out of my body, because it's like cutting yourself with razor blades, having acid poured on your skin and your bones crushed 24/7. You can't breathe. I couldn't play with my kids. I couldn't be with my wife. I lost my love of music because the sound and the vibration was so intense. I have to sit at the back of the church or by the exit. I couldn't stand bright lights. So my senses kind of got dulled. All that's gone. And
so when Mike came and prayed for you, did what happened?
Mike came and prayed for me, and he held onto my wrist. And I started to panic because I did not want to be restrained. I think I could take Mike. He's a big guy, but I think I could take him, even in my weakened state. But what Mike did for me and what Jesus did through Mike to me was he made me look at his eyes, and he wouldn't let me put my head down. And I kept wanting to put my head down because I didn't realize the guilt and the shame I was carrying from the horrific and horrible events that I cannot even put into words, nor do I want to, because I don't see those images anymore and I don't feel that pain. On the 10th of January, I went to my doctor with my wife. You know, I've been about 100 different doctors and specialists for my nerves and the PTSD, and I asked them, I said, does PTSD ever go away? You know, can it be cured? Is there medicine? What's the answer? Because, you know, I'm always thinking about taking my life. I'm always, and everything's intense for me and my family. And they said, no, you don't ever lose PTSD. Well, the devil is a lie, and so is that doctor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Monday night, I got prayer from Mike, and as he was praying for me, I was crying, I was sweating, and I kept putting my head down. He said, look in my face. I said, don't tell me what to do. And he's like, I'm not letting you go till you look at me. And so he just kind of walked me through the stages, and I can't even tell you what all of them were, but it was a short prayer. It was only 5 minutes. It wasn't nothing deep, but it was like Jesus was touching my hand, and he was speaking to me, and I felt a peace that I haven't felt since I was probably a young child. And I walked in the door of my house Monday night, and I kind of floated in the house, I guess. And my wife said to me, she said, babe, what happened? I said, I'm free. I'm free.
Let's stand and praise the Lord for Dave's and freedom.
So happy for you. And you couldn't have normally got up in front of this many people and stood in the light, could you? Amen. You are free. Yeah.
Okay. My wife told me, she said, babe, it looks like you've lost 2,000 pounds off your shoulders, and I don't know who you are, because she's only lived with me since I've had this PTSD. She's lived through the nightmares. She's lived through being attacked in my sleep. She's lived in fear. My kids have dealt with it. She's lived through all the medication. But since then, in the last 2 days, I've played with my kids, I've held them, I've hugged them. I haven't been afraid of what's on TV, what's outside. And even better, before I came here tonight, I just gotta say this, I was still having the pain in my wrist, but I said, God, you've been so good, you've already brought me through, you got me out of bed, you got me out of the wheelchair, you got me off all these medications and narcotics. And tonight, when I go there, it's gonna be done. And I don't need prayer, because I'm just going there to glorify what you did for me. As I was sitting in the lobby over there, at 6:05, I was sitting there waiting for him to open the doors, and all of a sudden, I felt my left hand. And I looked down, and I was like, hand? You're back. And nobody prayed for me. There was no worship going on. I got on the phone and I called my wife and I said, thank you, Jesus. Not only am I at peace, I have no more pain. I can touch my hands. I can clap my hands. I can feel my fingers. I can dance.
And the music didn't hurt me. The lights don't hurt me. The devil's a liar. Jesus came in. Father God is so great. He brought me home. My Father in heaven, thank you for bringing me home and rescuing me and giving me back my freedom. You too can have it in a minute. Yes.
So yeah, you can give thanks to God for that. So for the last 11 years, I've been showing that video, and at the end, I would say, get free of PTSD, become a preacher. But I use it kind of sarcastic. But then 2 years ago, I got an email from Adrian. Since this video, he and his wife moved from California to Colorado. They had two more children. And he went into ministerial training, and he sent to me in his email the picture of his credentials, that he is now ordained as a police chaplain, and he works for his local police department in helping both the police officers and people. That's just restoration as far as I'm concerned. Give thanks to God for that, will you? Guys, if we go back to our PowerPoint real quick, go back to the slide with the next one, please. So in Japanese art culture, they have this amazing expression called kintsukuroi or kintsugi. What happens is, because Japanese artists believe that every expression of art that they create is a sacred expression of the soul, if a piece of pottery is broken, instead of throwing it away and making a new one, they actually take the broken pieces and they put it back together using gold or silver lacquer to restore it back to the original design and dream of the creator. So not only is the original creation restored, not only is the original dream of the artist restored, but now that piece is more beautiful and more valuable for having been broken. Next slide, please. That's what God wants to do for your soul today. He wants to bring you healing. He wants to take the shattered pieces of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and he no longer wants you to be identified with all the bad things that have happened to you. He wants you to walk in freedom, just as Adrian has, just as over 30,000 people that we have known have gotten verified testimonies of healing from the symptoms of trauma and PTSD. So here's what I'm going to have you do just for these next couple of minutes. I want you to keep your eyes open, and I'm going to pray for all of you in this room. We just invite the Spirit of God to come right now in power. Thank you, Lord, for the love of the Father that I feel here that is so strong. And Father, I thank you that you have literally targeted different individuals in this room who have been carrying the wounds. As your worship leader so beautifully expressed it today, that there are people that have known brokenness and wounding, that Jesus is calling, he's here, and he's here to bring healing and restoration to your shattered soul. So first of all, in the name of Jesus, I declare that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've welcomed the work of the cross into your life, therefore, you are completely forgiven by God, that there is nothing between you and Father God. God has not punished you with trauma. God is not against you, that because you've accepted the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, you are completely forgiven by God. All of your sin, all of your iniquity, all of your transgression is completely wiped away, and you're completely forgiven and free. Now, because you are completely forgiven, I'm going to ask you to do something that may be difficult for you, but there's grace to do it. And that is, for just a moment, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you anybody in your life that has either abused you, hurt you, or wounded you in any way. And in order to set you free from the trauma that they did to you, God is calling you to forgive that person and to release you from what they did to you. It doesn't mean that what they did to you was right. Doesn't mean that what they did to you was fair. As a matter of fact, it was injustice. But Jesus says, as you have been forgiven, so we're called to forgive the sins that have been done to us. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. Just join with me in this. And as the Holy Spirit begins to show you people, faces, and names of people who've wounded you, You just simply say in your mind, Father, I forgive them. You forgive them. I release them. Yeah, the prayer is, Father, I forgive them. You forgive them. I release them. And as you do that, the chains and shackles of the trauma that they did to you are being broken in the name of Jesus. So we'll just take a minute. We have silence before the Lord right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in this room, and He will give you the grace to do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I forgive them. You forgive them. I release them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to wait one more minute. And once you're done, you can open your eyes and look at me again so I know that you're done. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, everybody, look at me. Take your right hand and put it right here. I'm going to pray this over you. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to your shattered soul. I speak healing to your mind, what and how you think. I speak healing to your will, the power to choose. I speak healing to your emotions, that you will no longer be dominated by negative emotions, and sorrow, and mourning, and grief, and anger, and pain. I speak specifically, everybody look at me now. I speak specifically to the one who feels numb, that you've had so much pain, you've had so much trauma, that you feel numb on the inside. And I just declare to your emotions to wake up again. Wake up again and begin to receive joy and the shalom of God. And finally, I speak healing and restoration of your identity, that you are no longer defined in any way, shape, or form by what has happened to you or by what you've done, but instead you're defined by who your Father calls you. Would you just repeat this after me? Because of Jesus, I am no longer defined by my history, what I have done, what's been done to me by my family, or what I've witnessed. I'm defined by who my Father calls me. He calls me His beloved child, in whom He's well pleased, right now. You can smile at that. That's okay. It's real. He's pleased with you right now. Now take your right hand and put it right back here on top of your head, if you would. I know it's strange, but neuroscience tells us this is where all of our traumatic images and memories are stored. And in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to your memory. I speak healing, and I command every traumatic image and memory that you still carry, that still haunts you, that still brings you nightmares and night terrors and flashbacks, that still cause you anxiety and panic. In the name of Jesus, I command all those traumatic images and memories to dry up and die right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing to your memory center. I command your memory center to wake up, to wake up. Let there come a free flow of memory so that you begin to remember the good things about your life, and your mind and your memories are no longer dominated by the bad things, in Jesus' name. I speak to those of you that are struggling with short-term memory, and I command your short-term memory skills to be restored to you in Jesus' name so that you begin to remember where you put your phone, your car, your keys, and people remember people's names again in the name of Jesus. That there come a clarity of thought so that that all the confusion of trauma leaves your mind and you begin to have clear thinking again. I also speak to your sleep center, and in the name of Jesus, those of you that have difficulty sleeping, I declare Proverbs 3:24 over you that says, because you walk in covenant with God, you shall no longer lie down in fear, but it's your Father's inheritance to you to give you sweet sleep beginning tonight. So beginning tonight, 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give thanks to God for that, will you, right now? Give thanks to God for that. Now, we're not done. Put your hand right here. It's the last part of it. In the name of Jesus, I cancel and I sever every assignment of the powers of darkness that have taken advantage of you by lying to you through your trauma. I sever and cancel the lies of the spirit of trauma, the lies of the spirit of fear, and I specifically address the lies of the spirit of suicide. There's somebody in this room that you've been struggling with suicidal thoughts, and I have good news for you today. You never have a suicidal thought that is your own. You're listening to a demon that is out to steal, kill, and destroy the dream of God for your life. But I cancel and I sever the assignment of the spirit of suicide. And every time you get one of those thoughts again, you just simply say, not today, Satan. I'm not listening to that stuff any longer in Jesus' name, because those thoughts don't come from you in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, as we have spoke healing to your soul, I also speak release of the trauma from your body that has come from injury, that has come from abuse, or anything where you still carry the pain of your trauma. And I command your muscle memory to release the trauma and freedom to your body in the name of Jesus. Now, this one last prayer, I'm going to ask you to join me in praying for yourself. Say this: Holy Spirit, come and fill every area of my life that has been occupied by trauma. I renounce and I reject trauma as the story of my life. Instead, I'm the blessed of the Lord. I carry the favor of God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and occupy every place that trauma has occupied in my life. Fill me with your love, your joy, your peace, and your power. I receive your dream for me that I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. All things have become new. That I am truly loved by you. And the dream that you created me for is still available for me. Thank you, Father, for healing my soul and setting me free. In Jesus' name. Now give thanks to God, will you? Pastor Aaron, would you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, Sunshine Bible, for having me. I'll be at the back table if you want to connect with me and buy any of the resources. But I just bless you to be the amazing kingdom family that you are. And thank you in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you.
Love you. Thank you.